All right. Good morning. I just told Jesse, as you get older, it seems like this little stand, you got to lift it higher and higher to be able to see these words and stuff. I don't know what's happening up here. Getting old before your eyes. I got contacts in. Already there. All right. Well, today we'll be in Psalm 27, continuing in the Psalms. But I want to just say something before we get started. Not necessarily that David, as he wrote the Psalm, knew that one day these would be published in a Bible for us to see. These were things that he was going through. And we know in our Bible there are these subtitles that kind of give you an inkling about what's to happen in one of these Psalms. And I just find it interesting before we start today just to read you the subtitle of what this psalm is called. Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." I want you to see there that even in this, it gives us an inkling, a start of this personal relationship, the personal tone that David has with the Lord. We know this, right? We know that really out of anyone we can look at in Scripture, David is someone who understood the personal aspect of a relationship with God. And so, my light and my salvation. I just want to stop there before we even get into the Word, and I want to ask the question this morning. I wonder, can you say the same today? Can you, with 100%, like Jesse just sang so beautifully over us about the gospel and about God being our Father and us being His son or His daughter, can you say the same today that He is my light? Not Jesse's light, not Keith's light, not the church at Southside's light, or our brother here who's a missionary, or anybody else here, that it's my light, okay? That you can honestly say in a personal way that He is my light and my salvation. I want to tell you that the answer to this question is of utmost importance, okay? I mean, really, this is the most important thing that not only that you will hear today, but forever, the most important question you will ever hear. Can you say that Jesus is your light and your salvation? I got news for you. If you say no, I want you to know that one day when we stand before a holy God, this can't be your grandmother's faith. This can't be your mom's faith. This can't be your pastor's faith, your church's faith, any of those kind of things. This has got to be a personal thing, right? That He is your light and your salvation. There has to be a personal ownership. No one can do that but you. David understood this possibly better than anyone we see in all of Scripture. I want to start by reading in Psalm 27. It says, David starts out, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me. Answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Isn't that kind of ironic that Jesse felt led this morning to sing about this father relationship? And we see David even say, "My father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, we just thank you, and it's my prayer, if we've read this psalm a million times, Father, that you still speak to our heart. Your word is living and active, and so we just pray with your Holy Spirit's help that you speak to our hearts today, wherever we're at. We prayed it earlier. If we've yet to begin a relationship with you, if we've had one for 50 years, we just pray, God, that today when we leave this place, we could say we feel closer to you today, walking just a step closer, Father, with you, just in intimacy. That's the kind of relationship we want. We all in this place, it is my desire, it is your desire, God, more importantly, that each and every person can say, yes, Jesus is my light. Jesus is my salvation. Not just my churches, not just my pastor, not just my friend, my brother, my sister, my mother, my grandmother's faith, but this is my light and my salvation. Father, help us to seek you today. As David said, my heart, God, you know, it seeks after you. Let us be able to say the same. Father, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So much of this psalm, really, if you want to know the truth about it, if you go and you look at this verse by verse, it revolves around fear. David is someone who is a powerful man, this high person of prestige and position, but yet he is willing to admit, God, there are times that I fear. Now, I want to tell you here, some of you, right, some of you in this place know some really bad people. You say, man, ain't nobody going to mess with him, right? I remember growing up in the 80s. Anybody remember a guy by the name? This is not in my notes. This has got to be from God because I didn't think about this at all today. Anybody remember the guy Iron Mike Tyson? Anybody remember him? Called the baddest man on the planet. And for a little while, he was the baddest man on the planet. Don't get him to talk. It'd kind of fool you off, you know, how he talked. But this was a bad dude. He come to the ring, had the black shorts and the black shoes, no socks. And man, most fights, I remember going to the Bout Auditorium with my dad, watching a pay-per-view that lasted like 93 seconds, right? He knocked people out quick. This was a bad man. But I promise you, in Mike Tyson's life, there have been moments that he has been fearful. May not want to admit it. But there have been times that the baddest man on the planet has been fearful. I want you to know that there is no shame this morning to say, man, I'm afraid right now. I'm afraid where my next meal's coming from. I'm afraid where I got to sleep tonight. I'm afraid of the people that's around me. I'm afraid of the people that are at the next camp. I'm afraid of where my next job's coming from, my next paycheck, all of these things. I'm afraid about my health. I'm fearful that relationships that I've burned in the past, that I've got nowhere to go in the future. I'm afraid. I want you to know that's okay. In fact, there's a beautiful honesty here with David where he talks about this fear. So I want you to know that all of us have experienced fear. Every single one of us, situation, circumstance, addiction, someone else, a sickness, maybe our failed plans, but all of us have felt fear. There's something about us as humans. We love the idea of being in control. And I just want you to know you cannot control a single thing. We really can't. In a grand scheme of things, we can't, right? I think, you know, just to the situations and stories that we've all heard, that we've all just seen, and we just know that control is just something that we offer some little comfort in our mind, but really in the grand scheme of things, there's very little that we can control. We see this even by a king standard, that David himself addresses the fears that he has in his life. Listen to this. David in verses 1 and 2 addresses the fears that we've all had, but he, because he was in a personal relationship with God, listen to this, not because it was somebody else's faith. David didn't come to the psalm and say, because you were with my father Jesse, I know you'll be with me. He's not saying, because I know you're with Israel, that you'll be with me. Not because I'm the king, you'll be with me. But he's saying, you are my light and my salvation. Whom do I have to fear? In other words, he's coming to God. And listen, this is what David is honestly saying. I am scared to death. I am fearful. But because you are my light and salvation, really, who do I have to fear? You see, he realized that he had no need for this fear. I want you to know, think about this. You may have had someone coming after you in your life. You may have had a beef with somebody. You may have had a relationship that's gone bad. You understand these things. But can you imagine the pressure on someone being a king, or in our terms, being a president? Take politics out of it. Can you imagine being a president, laying your head down, and yeah, you've got Secret Service, but you have enemies all around the world. Some of them in your own country, right? Just mad and just hateful and all of these things. And some of it we could say, based on actions and all this stuff, might deserve a little bit of those kind of things. But, right, just you can imagine. Imagine the fear that comes with that. No matter who that man or woman would be, you can imagine the fear that would come with that. I mean, because here's the deal. We talk about, like, we feel like, in some senses, these armies or these enemies that are around, these are people that have literal armies and literal enemies that surround them, that encamp them. David even says those words. So there is genuine fear. But then David catches himself. And David really offers a secret for us here. It's an if-then kind of thing. Here's what he says. Listen to the way he says it. The Lord is my light and salvation, and if that is the case, then whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold. In other words, if the Lord is my stronghold, there is no one I should be afraid of. Then we see this in verse 3. Again, remember, this is a king that is writing this. This is a king that is pouring his heart, and he says this. He says, sometimes, like, you know, us, we feel as if these armies are around. I mentioned that. But in this, there are literal armies around. It says, though an army encamp against me. In other words, David could look out from the palace from time to time and see literal armies gathering around, and not just gathering around and walking and saying, yeah, one day we're coming after you. He says encamped. You know what I'm saying? Like, set up shop. We're not leaving. We're going to stay out here, and we're going to wait till there's a moment and we're coming after you. And David has the confidence because Jesus, because looking into the future, because the Father, he says, this is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Though an enemy encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. This is a guy that's able to look out and see the masses standing there waiting for his demise. And he is able to say, I'm not going to fear that. Man, isn't that appealing? Isn't that appealing to go through a situation in life to have enemies all around? By the way, whether you know it or not, there is a very real enemy present in your life. John 10:10 tells about him that there is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? The devil. But Jesus came to give us life and to give us life abundantly. There is a way out from this attack. Again, it is my light and my salvation. This king has a literal enemy, and he says, though an army encamp me, they set up camp, they will not leave, they are taunting me, they are out there, and though war rises against me, I will be confident. I want you to know, David was this crazy good dude in so many ways, but I want you to know, I find it interesting that it wasn't in his power or prestige or position or his ability to lead an army or a nation. He says, I will be confident because, God, I know that you are with me. Man, verse 4 continues on, and David understands this glorious truth. He understood that even if all of these things are around me, even if this army that encamps me destroys my physical body, even if, he says, this one thing I have asked, would you let me dwell in the house of the Lord forever? David's coming with this eternal confidence, this confidence that he says, no matter what happens in this life, no matter what happens to my physical body, no matter what situations or army encamps, let them encamp out there, let them set up shop. I don't care because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not again because of his power or prestige or position, but because he is one that is owning his salvation, saying that God is his light and his salvation, a personal thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 5 again shows the confidence David has and where it lies. I want you to listen in one short verse, in one short little verse of this song. There are six instances where he says, here are deliveries, and they're not coming from him. They're not coming from his army. They're not coming from his friends. Listen to what he says. In this one verse, six times he says this, he will hide me. Who's the he? God. In his shelter, right? Whose shelter is it? It's God's. He will conceal me. Whose concealment? It's God's, right? Under the cover of whose tent? His tent. He will lift me high upon his rock. It says a rock, but I wanted you to know who spoke the rocks into existence. Six things that he says. It's him. It's he. It's his. He will take care of it all. I want you to know this is somebody that at the very snap of a finger had just thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people at his beck and call. And his idea of confidence, his idea of salvation was all about him. Man, wouldn't it be real easy, especially somebody like David? David slayed giants, man. I look at David's life and I think some of it, not all of it, but I look at David's life and I think, man, that would be so cool to be a man that is called a man after God's own heart. David could have stood before God and in his moment of death and standing before God and says, you know me, I'm the king. I killed giants. You said I'm a man after your own heart. But I want to tell you, knowing David's heart, the way he sought God, the way he was after God, I promise you, the moment that he stood before God, his faith was not in his position or his power. He stood before God and said, it was because of you. You're my light. You're my salvation. By the way, if David would have stood with any other thing on his mind, any other thing hoping to get in, not like Jesse saying about him being our father and we are his children. If it was anything on David's own accord, it's of no use. Be burned up. Verse 7, David, a humble king, says, hear, O Lord, when I cry. I bet you think in your life, you say, man, a king's got nothing to cry about. What's he crying about? David's humble. He says, I've been crying out to you. Be gracious. Answer me. Can I ask a real question this morning? I just want this to hit right where you're at, and I believe God's leading me to ask this. Do you ever feel like you've asked God something over and over and over, and nothing seems to be happening? Do you not sometimes, like David, want to just say, God, would you just be gracious to me and just answer? Will you just answer me? Will you give me some kind of rest from this question that haunts me over and over? I want to give you a prescription I believe David offers that is just really awesome this morning. Something that might help you in the waiting. Because I got a news flash for you. He ends the psalm by sometimes there are times that we just have to wait for the Lord. But in that waiting, listen to what he says. In verse 8, he says this. You have said, he's talking to God. He says, God, you have said, seek my face. David is saying, in other words, God, this is what you've told me to do with my life. As king, as a man, as David, you have told me, seek my face. His word is full of that phrase. Seek my face. Seek me. You know what David gives him back? Here's what he says. My heart says to you, my heart. Listen to this. Here's what David said. I want everybody to listen. This is so vitally important. This is what 99% of people that gather and go to church today are going to miss entirely. They're going to stand in a row and sing a song and listen to someone preach and all of these things, and they are going to miss this key part that David says. Listen to what David says. My heart says to you, you've said, seek my face. My heart says to you, my heart. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Here's what David's saying. My everything, my soul, the heart was very central to that, right? My soul. That's why you hear the phrase of somebody saying, ask Jesus into your heart, right? It's everything. It's your soul. It is every fiber of your being. And David says, listen, not with my head. Not with my head do I seek you. Listen, study will only take you so far. If you don't believe me, ask the Pharisees. The Pharisees were someone in Scripture that had literally, y'all, listen to this, literally had memorized every single word of the law. And I don't know about you, every time I see them in Scripture, Jesus is kind of hacked off at them. In other words, it's not enough just to have it up here. David's saying, out of my heart, I've sought you. Out of my heart, I seek your face. I'm not just trying to gain it up here. Study is great, but I am trying to have this heart knowledge of you. I'm wanting to fall in love with you. Like Jesse's saying, I'm wanting to be able to say, Abba, Father. By the way, do you know the word Abba? It's a personal. It's dad, daddy. It's not just like, oh yeah, that's the guy that brought me into light. This is a personal, that cuddle up father relationship. This Abba Father, that is a heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge of, oh yeah, there is a God and He does exist. But my heart, I seek you with everything that is in me. David, in other words, says, every fiber of my being, I seek you. If you don't believe me, you look at the Pharisees, and though they memorized Scripture word for word, I mean, could quote the entire law, the first five books of the Bible, they could quote, and yet God in the flesh was standing right in front of them and they didn't recognize Him. And it's so much more about memorizing Bible verses or your prayer life or your quiet time or different things like that, all great things, but it's about the heart. David says that, and if this is a man after God's own heart, maybe we should listen to what he's saying. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. And then David echoes what I just asked. Sometimes we feel like, God, you're not listening. You don't care. You've turned away from me. David even says it himself. Would you hide not your face from me? Turn not your servant away in anger. Please don't forget me. In other words, he says, don't forsake me. Don't forsake me. Don't give up on me. Don't stop listening. God, I'm begging to you. I'm coming to you with my heart, with everything. In verse 11, he continues, teach me your way, O Lord. David knew the Father's way is best. Can I get you to do something real quick? Just in a moment of just quietness and stillness, will you just bow your heads and close your eyes for just 1 second? I just want you to get... Feel the Holy Spirit leading to this point. I just want you to just stop and quiet your soul. Quiet your soul from what you're about to do and get off the truck or where you got to go, any of that. Just stop for a second and just quiet your soul. Just quiet your soul. Do you know that the Father's way is better for you than your way? Listen to me. It's real easy with our head, like we talked about with the knowledge, say, oh yeah, I know God's ways, but I'm asking from your heart, from everything that's within you, every fiber of your being, do you trust that the Father's way is better for you? Ask Him that. God, do I really trust that? If not, would you be bold enough to pray? God, would you show me that today? Would you speak to me in that today? Would your Holy Spirit speak that your way is better and then I would follow that way with all of my heart, not just my head? All right, you can look this way. This is what David does. He says, teach me your way, O Lord. David knew that this was best. Now, I would love to give you an encouraging thing and say, man, if you would just know that the Father's way is best, if you would just seek Him with all your heart, then all of life's problems are going to be fixed and it'll be today and it'll be glorious and all of these things like that. And I did say, I wish I could say that. Because here's what David says as he closes out this and he's, you know, bragged on God being his light and his salvation and all of these things and telling, I'm going to seek His face with all my heart, with everything, and cast me not away and listen to me, God, and all of these things. David's advice to close things out is this. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Listen to what he says again. By the way, in case you missed it, wait for the Lord. I want to read that again. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Here's why I believe David ends that. Here's where I want to paint a good picture for you this morning. No matter what life has you going through, no matter what situation, circumstance, where it feels like you're in the deepest mud and mire and muck that you could think of, I promise you that if you'll wait, I can't tell you how long. I wished I could. I wish it was that easy. I wish I could tell you, if you'll wait, then 3 days from now, God's going to do something. Sometimes God gives us words like that. I don't have that today. For this whole crowd, I just say that if a man after God's own heart had learned and had prayed and poured his heart out, and it says that he cried out to God, saying, please listen to me. Please answer me, God. I'm scared. I know I shouldn't be. In my head, I know I shouldn't be. And then comes to a place of saying, with everything in me, I seek you. I am coming after you with everything that is within me. With every fiber of my being, I know your way is best. And then it's as if David has a moment at the end. I know. I got to wait for you. I got to be strong. I got to let my heart take courage. And I got to wait. Man, I just want to challenge you with this today, that one of the worst words to me in the English language is wait. I hate that word. I honestly do. Why? Because most everything that we want, we can get pretty quick these days. I was trying to explain to my kids one day about an encyclopedia. Anybody ever used an encyclopedia? Had to do like projects at school? Remember that stuff? Man, kids don't even understand. They got Google. Like in a matter of seconds, if you want to know what the average weight of an aardvark is, you just Google it. We had to look that junk up. And then if there wasn't enough in the A encyclopedia, we had to go to the library and find another source. And then you had to tell in your paper what other source. Now people can copy web links and put it in. Man, they got it easy. Google can do it. Google knows. Man, waiting is tough. But can I be honest this morning? Some of you right now, the spot that you're in, myself included, everybody in this circle, here's my voice. The most holy thing you can do in this moment is to wait on the Lord. You know what David had done? David had come to the end of himself, and this is the king of Israel, the most powerful man in the world. And he says, I got to wait. This is all I'm feeling. This is all that's going on inside me. I am hurting. I need you, God. I need you. And it's as if David goes back and remembers, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I just got to wait. I want to challenge you with that this morning. And in doing so, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me just for a second, and I'll be done. First off, I want to go back to the very first question I ask. Is he your light and your salvation? Not your mom's, not your church's, not your dad's, grandma's. None of those people's faith is going to get you through. Is he your light and your salvation? It's only made possible through Jesus. Have you given your heart and life to him? If not, what a wonderful day it would be to do so today. You see somebody on that. See myself, somebody else, a friend. Pray with them. I want to know Jesus. It's pretty simple. You're already there. In fact, if you say, I want to be there, I believe you're already there. But in that point, man, one of the hardest things to do, we said it, is to wait on the Lord. That might be the most holy thing you can do right now. Say, I come to the end of myself. There's nothing I can do. All chips are on in the center of the table. I am going to wait on you. And I ask boldly this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you say this morning, man, I am in a season of just waiting. I'm waiting right now for something. I'm waiting for something to break. You want to just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for. I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. See that? Amen. Anyone else? Awesome. Okay. Hands all around. You're not alone. Mine's raised with you. How about that? I'm with you. We just got to wait. In His timing, and we all know and would say His timing is best. I know we don't like that, but His timing is best. So I'm going to pray over you in this season of waiting, and we're just going to offer that as a gift of worship in closing. Just say, we wait. We wait on you, Lord. Whatever it is in our life that we need to wait on, we wait and we trust that your way is best. Father, we just thank you. We pray, first off, God, that each and every person here this morning could say, yes, God, through Jesus, you are my light and my salvation. Not anyone else's, or I'm not counting on a church membership. I'm not counting on good deeds, but you, Jesus, are my light and my salvation. Thank you. We worship you. We thank you for that. Jesse saying it again, just that song continues to be in my heart this morning, that we reach a point when we understand how good the gospel is, that we can be called children of God. All that we can say is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. We worship you in that. We honestly, we're not singing it right now, but we say that. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. for your salvation. Thank you for being my light and my salvation. Thank you that I don't have to go through this life alone. Thank you that I am a child of God, and it is nothing to do with the fact that I open the Bible and teach people. It's nothing to do with if I give money to somebody. It's nothing to do with any of the, quote, good things. It is all because of the blood of Jesus. That is it. I didn't deserve it, but I thank you for it. God, for everything else we've talked about, there are just things in our life that we're fearful of. May we be like David and say, my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Well, it's easy to say with our head, but let us say it with our heart today, with everything in us that we believe that you have our good at stake, that you are covering us, that you are there. You have not turned away. You have not cast us aside. And so in that, we just wholly come before you and say, we will wait with holy anticipation. We come to the end of ourselves and say, I can't do anything else right now but wait. And I wait on you. David says that, wait on the Lord. Take courage. Take heart. Wait on the Lord. So God, we wait on you. My brothers and sisters, raise your hand and say, man, I am waiting. I have been waiting. In fact, some may say, I've been waiting for a long time. It's time for you to answer. God, would you just give us patience? Would you allow us to wait and wait to hear from you? God, you will speak. You will come through if we just wait. Give us patience in that process. We love you. We thank you. And just pray your blessings over this crowd. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for being here.